Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
The Iowa women play Saturday at 2. The Iowa women play Saturday at 2 on ABC at Hawkeye Arena, which has been sold out for some time now. You know, it's funny because I was reading about Caitlin Clark. The New York Times Daily podcast today is entirely, solely about Caitlin Clark. There have been feature stories in all the major publications across the country, including one in the USA Today, Today, that talks about what a hotbed of women's basketball Iowa is. Iowa is a hotbed of women's basketball. In fact, one of the women on the bench, an assistant coach named Jen Jensen, when she was in high school, averaged 66 points a game. It was 6-on-6 basketball. She averaged 66 a game. She played for Drake, and she averaged 29.6. How about that? They said that not only is it a hotbed of women's basketball, but in fact they have four Division I women's basketball teams in Iowa. And of the 53 players on the state's four Division I rosters, 43 of those women are from Iowa or border states. It's not a very populous state, but boy, they do have the basketball players there. None more famous, of course, than Caitlin Clark. Mike Halas is a sports columnist for the Gazette in Cedar Rapids. Hey, Mike, you're on WGN Radio. Thanks for giving us some of your time.
Oh, my pleasure.
So talk to me about Caitlin Clark. When you talk about her, what do you say?
Transformative. Yeah. Transcendent. pretty good ball player.
Is she really that? I mean, I think a lot of us have seen her play on TV a bit now. When you watch her in person or on TV, is she really singularly that much better than everybody else?
Yes. She's just different. She's just, you've seen this. I'm not comparing her to Michael Jordan as a player, but you see these kinds of players come along only so often, where they with the charisma and the skill set and just the right place, right time, and right moment in history,
yeah,
they just take over a sport. And she's done that with women's basketball because she's not a one-dimensional player. She's the best passer I've ever seen, men or women, in covering college basketball in 40 years. And her shooting range is beyond belief.
I was actually reading an article today about how she shoots the ball. They actually diagrammed the release angle, her jumping form, her shoulders. I mean, it's kind of a perfect jump shot, isn't it?
Well, it is for her, you know, and she's made walk-off three-pointers that I've watched over and over again on video and thought, I don't know how she made that.
Yeah.
But on top of that, it's there have been a lot of great athletes, MVPs, all pros, you name it. But it's a personality thing, too. She plays with fury, with zest, with joy, and it pops right through the TV screen and to where every little kid in the state of Iowa wants to be like her, wants to meet her, wants to touch her. I mean, it's the phrase rock star gets overused, but it's comparative, I think, in this instance. And she responds to it. She deals with it. She doesn't go into a shell. She embraces it and makes the thing a joyful experience for everybody.
You know, as you're talking about her personality, I'm also thinking about her sort of cockiness. But she straddles that line between having an attitude of she's cocky, but she's likable at the same time. Do you know what I'm talking about there, Mike? And do you agree with that?
Oh, I agree totally, and you're right. And I don't think you get to that level of excellence in basketball without being cocky. You can't have doubt in your mind.
Yeah.
The second you do, you're just a face in the crowd. I've seen her miss 9 shots in a row. She wants to shoot the 10th because she knows she's going to make it. And so, yeah, certainly there's that element of cockiness, but it's not to the point of being abrasive. And it's a fine line sometimes. You know, when after the national championship game last year, there was a big hullabaloo because Angel Reese of LSU gave her back the "you can't see me" gesture that yeah. Caitlin did in the national semifinals.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of players would have taken that personally, would have felt disrespected, and Caitlin shrugged it off, saying, "It's we trash talking to women's basketball too."
I listened back to the playback today of what she said after that game at the press conference, and I thought, wow, she's really good. I mean, because she does the gesture, and then Reese does the gesture in her face, and there was the racial component, and I thought Reese had a fair point that when Caitlin does it, we celebrate it, and when I do it, I'm a bad player, I'm a bad person. So then they asked Caitlin Clark about it, and she said, "No, I want girls to have an attitude." And she was so reasonable about it. Everybody's losing their mind. She was the only one that made any sense.
Yeah. And where does that come from? Well, who knows? But it's just another component in this composite of a player unlike anybody we've seen in women's basketball. And I mean, look, she's doing commercials for national corporations. You'd probably see them all the time.
Yeah.
If you watch basketball, you can't help it. And you've never seen a male. I mean, I realize that this has only been available to college athletes for a 2 or 3 years, but is there a male college athlete in America that could get such a deal, that could ingrain themselves into the national consciousness like that? No, there's not. Not in football, not in basketball, not in anything.
Mike, talk to me just quickly about the amount of money she's making and the amount of money she's going to lose or make when she leaves after this season.
Well, she's making a lot. I can't quote you a figure, but her endorsement numbers go up, and we're not talking about, you know, the corner store. We're talking about some of the nation's Fortune 500 companies. But as far as making or losing money, she's going to go into the WNBA. In fact, in April, she'll be drafted number one. She's not going to lose any money at all because she's going to bring everybody over to the WNBA to watch her. This the 12-team league, and I think that every team that's got tickets for sale for when the Indiana Fever come there.
Yeah, she'll sell out Wintrust Arena here in Chicago,
that's
for sure.
Yes, and more people are going to watch those games on TV than ever have before, a lot more. And it's going to draw a whole lot of attention to a league that, frankly, hasn't drawn much attention in its quarter century of existence. So, this isn't one of those deals where she could make more being in college. Her time to leave Iowa has come once this NCAA tournament is done. She's got nothing left to prove at Iowa. It would be old hat doing it for another year. And
that's an interesting point. If she really wants to prove herself, you've made your point here. Now, really, go play against the very best women players in the world. And
exactly.
So that makes sense, especially if you're a super competitive person. Listen, Mike, maybe you and I can talk again as the tournament unrolls. It starts rolls out. It starts tomorrow, at least for the Iowa women. I mentioned a moment ago they play at 2 o'clock on ABC at Hawkeye Arena. A place is going to be rocking. Will you be there, Mike?
I'll follow the Iowa women to the very end. So we'll see if it's 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, but I wouldn't rule anything out.
Okay, Mike. Let's visit again then. That's Mike Halas, sports columnist. He also writes about men's basketball. He's the beat writer for the Gazette in Cedar Rapids.